KSIV now presents Encounter, a public service program of Bot Radio Network, dedicated to keeping you informed about the issues that affect your life. Now, here's today's Encounter broadcast.
Welcome to today's Encounter. We're going to be talking about October is National Disability Employment Awareness Month. You're going to hear an amazing story and find out some statistics that might shock you. I'm Judy Redlick. This is Encounter. My guest today is Colleen Starkloff. She's the co-founder of Starkloff Disability Institute, has been a disability rights advocate for the past long time. So we've got some stories to share on this program, so please stay tuned. Colleen, thanks for joining me today.
Judy, it's a pleasure. Thank you so much for inviting me.
I am so happy that they have deemed October as the Disability Awareness Employment Month, because it showcases people with disabilities who are making a difference. Can you share a little bit about that?
Well, I'm really proud that we partner every year with the Office of Disability Employment Policy at the Federal Department of Labor in Washington. And every year, ODEP, the Office of Disability Employment Policy, puts out a lot of materials and encourages people who are focused on disability hiring around the country to really get involved and promote the issue of disability hiring. And so in 2010, the Starkloff Disability Institute took on disability hiring as a major emphasis of our organization. We, as you know, you alluded to the fact that I've been doing this for a long time. I met Max Starkloff in 1973 and fell in love with him immediately, and he was living in a nursing home at the time, and I learned through him what I didn't learn in physical therapy school. I learned that you're only in the hands of medical care for a short period of time when you have a disability, but there's the whole rest of your life, and most people are not aware of what the opportunities and the possibilities are for disabled people to live full productive lives. So Max and I learned from Max that living a full productive life is possible, and it's adamant that we do this. We have to do this, because otherwise our people continue to live in poverty, and there's no reason for that.
Yeah, poverty, closed behind doors in people's homes, just being fed, and they don't really get to achieve their highest potential. And you know, Colleen, as well as I do, that every person needs a vision and a hope and a purpose.
Well, I think when we first started out, when I began to learn from Max about what his dreams were for full inclusion and emancipation of people with disabilities and equality, we also had a lot of conversations about the fact that back in that time, there were no curb cuts, there were no lifts on buses, accessible housing was a dream, not a reality. The ability for people with disabilities to go into regular schools and higher ed was not a given. So we had a lot of things we had to work on. And so we did, as a part of the disability rights movement in this country. We've not only changed this country, but the world. And now, what we're seeing is more and more younger people with disabilities are going to college, trade, and technical schools. We're beginning to free people with intellectual disabilities from sheltered workshops. They're getting jobs in regular competitive mainstream employment and being paid a competitive wage.
A competitive wage.
So those are really important issues and important changes that have come about as a result of the disability rights movement. So we're really ready to take that next big step, which is economic independence for people with disabilities through employment.
Economic independence. I remember the Americans with Disabilities Act. You and I kind of worked on that together on the state level and the fair transportation here with Colorado and Metro.
Right.
That was back in the 1990s. Have you seen that, because of that legislation, things started to roll?
I think that things have begun to roll on several levels. As I said, we had to affect change, and the issues around transportation and curb cuts actually happened in the 70s. We got lifts on buses before the ADA, but that was because of Section 504 of the Rehabilitation Act of 1973. So we began to lay the groundwork for that. the Education of All Handicapped Children Act, which came out in 1975 but morphed in the early 80s to the Individuals with Disabilities Education Act, has guaranteed the right for kids with disabilities to be integrated in regular schools and have supports there so that they can learn. And that's kids with physical disabilities, sensory disabilities, intellectual disabilities, all kids have the right to be integrated in regular schools. And that includes trade schools, tech schools, and higher education. So what we're seeing now is more and more young people are getting the kinds of skills that they need in order to enter the mainstream workforce. What we have to do is build their confidence and their awareness of the job opportunities that are out mm-hmm. there so that they train for the right kinds of skills and careers that they're capable of. And on the other hand, we need to really be working with employers to help them become more aware of the potential and the talent pool that's out there among the disability population. You know, right now the country says we're at full employment. Well, yes and no. That's of people who've been in the workforce, so they're back in the workforce. People with disabilities are out of the workforce ages 18 to 64. That's considered working age. 79.2% of people with disabilities are not in the workforce.
79.2% are not in the workplace.
Yes, and it was the same when the ADA was passed.
Now, is this employable, potentially employable, or are these people, this does not include people who are flat on their back, bedridden, and can't lift a finger?
It includes all people with disabilities.
All people with disabilities.
So that are between the ages of 16 and 64. So what that means is that for those who want to, what I was just explaining about the education, those who want to go to college, trade, or tech school can now do that. And there are the right supports. We have assistive technology. You're using an amazing machine, a computer that enables you to read text using Braille and converts from Braille to text. That kind of technology is going on throughout technology. I have staff who sit there and talk to their computers all day long, and their computers create PowerPoints, and they never lift a finger. They don't have to touch their keyboard.
And luckily, those computers don't answer back. They just do what they're told to do most of the time.
Sometimes they misunderstand you, and you have to clean it up.
Right.
But there's Zoom Text. Microsoft has enlargement software mm-hmm. built into their programs. You know that for people with low vision. Deaf people can now talk on the phone using Sorenson, which uses a video phone. And the person who is deaf has a screen like your monitor here on your desk. And they dial up a phone number. And on their screen comes a sign language interpreter. And the interpreter completes the call to a hearing person. And the deaf person and the sign language interpreter sign back and forth. And the interpreter talks to the hearing person who answers the phone. And that is huge.
Yeah.
I mean, that enables a deaf person to participate in a meeting in their company at no cost to the company. Companies don't know that.
Well, and I've heard the average it costs to equip a person with a disability, it could be $500 or less.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's phenomenal. You think about the fact that every person who goes into a job gets a computer. It's provided. It's provided by the employer. It's part of employer expense. Mm-hmm. Now, for blind people, one of the huge advantages is that rehab services for the blind in our state provides blind people with the technology they need to do a job. That's phenomenal.
It is
phenomenal.
That is
kudos to RSB for doing that, because they're helping to get people in the workforce and decreasing that employer angst about having to buy technology. Although, honestly, they take a tax deduction for it, and they can also get a tax deduction for part of the salary for the first year. So we're trying to educate employers on all these things so they're aware of the incentives but to hire people with disabilities. But in reality, this is a talent pool that is yet largely untapped, and we need to change that.
If there were three things that you could tell an employer right now, what would those be?
Well, first of all, I would say that I just did a training yesterday at a major U.S. corporation, and I think the first thing that's on people's minds is that employers, like hiring managers and recruiters and even coworkers, is how do I relate to this person? That's the first thing that worries them. And they wonder if someone's blind or deaf or uses a wheelchair, how do I accommodate them?
Mm-hmm.
how do I even welcome them? And my first answer to that is calm down. Treat them just like anybody else. Don't let your misperceptions about who disabled people are guide your behavior toward them. Treat them just like everybody else. And when you develop a little bit of friendship and you have a smile, you can learn from that individual how to be accommodating and welcoming.
And you can ask them questions.
I told this group yesterday that you can offer assistance and they may say, oh, thanks, I've got this. But what you've actually done when you offer assistance is you've let a person know that you're very willing to be asked to assist them with anything that they need. You've opened that door with them through that conversation. We talked about guide dogs. You know, you don't pet them, you pet them, you don't feed them, you don't distract them. We talked about how to communicate with deaf people through text and email and video phones. And interpreters. You know, I think for employers, the first thing is to relax and treat people like individuals. Secondly, learn about accommodations. And thirdly, be very opening and welcoming. Create a culture of disability in your workplace.
You know, Colleen, would you join me? We're going to take a break, but let's go into a little bit more of how to create a culture in your workplace to include people with disabilities. Would you join me?
Sure.
All right, we'll be right back with Colleen Starkloff. She is the co-founder of Starkloff Disability Institute. I'm Judy Redlich. This is Encounter. We'll be right back. For more Encounter shows by Judy Redlich, go to judyredlich.com/radio. We're always looking for sponsors for this website and great show ideas. Email me at jredlichspeaks@gmail.com. That's jredlichspeaks@gmail.com. In the St. Louis area, listen to me on Tuesdays, 1:30 p.m., KSIV 95.9 FM, 1320 AM. I'm Judy Redlich. Welcome back to Encounter. My guest is Colleen Starkloff. She's the co-founder of the Starkloff Disability Institute. October is National Disability Employment Awareness Month. We're talking about persons with disabilities and being employed. Not sheltered workshops necessarily, but gainfully employed to where people know that they have a vision and a purpose. And if you're an employer out there, we want to talk with you about how to change the culture in your company to include people with disabilities. In fact, Colleen, why don't you address that right now?
Oh, I'd love to. Thank you. That's a big question. And first of all, I want to indicate to your listeners that we've never had a better time in this country for people with disabilities to enter the workforce. And we've been fighting for it for more than 45 years. But now that groundwork's been laid for people to enter the workforce, we have actually hit a perfect storm. There's a tremendous effort in this country now for corporations to be diverse and inclusive.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're wanting to integrate their workforces with more people and be more reflective of who lives in our society today. So that's a really wonderful.
That's huge.
That is because we've not had that.
Because when I started the workforce, there was none of that. I mean, we had to fight for everything. And still, you know, even 10 years ago, getting accessibility and even having people have their websites accessible. Well, that's an issue that we're at about 5%, aren't we, Colleen?
Are we that far?
Well, that's one
of the issues you just
that
asked me about.
That is really one of the issues. That's right. So, okay, well, go ahead.
But there's another opportunity that happens to coincide with the diversity and inclusion effort. You know that the Rehabilitation Act of 1973 was passed in 1973, and it had different sections of the law. Section 504 was the first piece of civil rights legislation people with disabilities had to be protected from discrimination, and that enabled people to be protected from discrimination in workplaces that received federal grants, federal financial assistance. Section 503 of the Rehabilitation Act of 1973 said that if you are a federal contractor, not a grantee, that's different. If you're a federal contractor, you would need to include people with disabilities in your workforce at 7% of your workforce, your entire workforce across the board. and that you could ask people to voluntarily disclose if they had a disability, which is different than the ADA. You can't ask a person about their disability. Mm-hmm. Ask them if they have a disability. So, but here's the rub. That law was passed in 73. 503 was a regulation in, as part of it. It never had any implementation or regulations until 2014.
Mm. Yeah, ADA really didn't help that law, did it?
Well, it's yeah, ADA is different than the 503 regs. The difference is that under the ADA, you can't ask a person about their disability. Under Section 503, which didn't – ADA was passed in 1990. 503 was implemented with regulations in 2014. That, however, allows an employer to ask all of their employees if they would be willing to voluntarily disclose. Here's the point. If you have to get to 7% of your workforce, how are you going to know if you have people with ADHD, learning disabilities, you know, some level of hearing loss, some level of vision loss, if people don't ask for accommodations right. and just try to pass,
right.
then because they're afraid of discrimination, you don't know if you have people with hidden disabilities in your workforce.
And you might be making your quota and don't even know it.
There you go. So, but it also, but now that brings us to your point about disability culture. For people with disabilities, we are the only marginalized group that needs to have physical access, technology access in order to be included, in order to access our civil rights. So you have to start with how accessible is your workplace? Do you have disabled parking? Is it accessible? Do you have accessible restrooms? Do you have?
Do they have Braille on the restroom doors?
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. All of that. Is there signage? Do people know where the accessibility is? Are there elevators? There's just basic physical access to a space is important. Then you have to layer on technology. Now, you don't have to have technology necessarily until you have an employee that needs it, but are you willing to provide the accommodation? You're supposed to by law. But also, is your website accessible? Now, we've had some interesting situations where you can websites will have different – you can click on different font sizes, which is great for people with low vision. But, you know, if you're blind, that doesn't do you any good. Can JAWS – mine your website.
And JAWS is a screen reader. Job Access for Windows is what it stands for. And it's the most popular screen reader that's out there today. In fact, I use it on my computer all the time.
There's your cue. So, but the other thing is that there are many companies have these high security computer networks that don't talk to JAWS, that don't communicate with JAWS. So you need a rehab engineer to come in and work with your technology folks to make sure. We've had some major corporations who've hired blind people and found out that that person needs to use JAWS in order to access their computer because, as far as I know, that's the best available software.
Right.
But if your computer has all these firewalls and things mm-hmm. on it that don't let JAWS in, that's a problem. So an awareness on the part of companies to make their websites accessible is very important, particularly since most corporations, their first point of entry is an online application process.
Right. And those are sometimes very difficult to fill out if you don't know where the forms, where the edited forms, if you don't know where the spaces are to type into.
Exactly. Exactly. So that's a key, first, you have to have the physical plant accessible. Then you need to see what's your website look like and how accessible is it for all types of people who need to access it with JAWS, with Dragon, which is a voice-to-text software program that many people who can't type on a keyboard use. So making sure your website's accessible. And then you should really be doing training with your employees to become welcoming, because I said earlier in the segment that there are employees who are not disabled who may know somebody with a disability, but in terms of relating to them on the job, they really have a lot of misgivings about how's this going to work? Are the coworkers going to be welcoming? And it really boils down to how comfortable and calm are you about understanding somebody with a disability. The Starkloff Disability Institute does consulting on this. And one of the things we do that we think is very simple, but employees think is very meaningful, is how can you be a sighted guide for somebody who's blind?
Right.
And so we teach them that. And you know, Judy, it enables people who are not disabled to just relax.
It does.
And calm down and say, oh, I'd love to be a sighted guide for somebody who's blind. Then they want to hire somebody who's blind just so they can be accommodated. I mean, it really does do that. We also have people who are deaf and who have mobility disabilities in our trainings. So that's they can be with cerebral palsy or spinal cord injury. It doesn't matter. But hearing people, particularly hiring managers and recruiters who do the interviewing, they're all non-disabled, and they're the ones who hand out the jobs. So they need to become familiar and comfortable with people with disabilities. And so we provide trainings for them so that they can learn that. And after every training we do, people say, oh, this is just not as hard as I thought it was going to be.
Right. I think the fear diminishes because they really see that they can do it. Let's go on the flip side and talk about job readiness. You also have a training program at the Starkloff Disability Institute for people who want to get into the workforce.
We have a Starkloff Career Academy that we created in we started working on it in 2010. And by 2012, we had gathered up some companies, role model companies who wanted to work with us and participate. And we have a really nice group of role model companies. We have Centene Corporation, who's a major supporter of ours.
They have Braille business cards, too. I'm so excited. I told my son, if you ever need to find a job, go over there because they have Braille business cards.
Isn't that great? Yeah.
It's wonderful.
Nestle Purina Pet Care and Enterprise Bank and Trust and Monsanto and Donald Danforth Plant Science Center, Bi-State. There are so many companies that are joining up with us to support us and help us to empower people with disabilities to be good job seekers. So as part of our Starkloff Career Academy, we have a capstone course, which Voc Rehab will pay for and RSB will pay for.
That's Rehab Services for the Blind, and Voc Rehab is vocational rehab for those people who have different disabilities.
Right, for people who are not blind or low vision. And in that, we have an 8-week course. There's one going on right now, this capstone course that meets twice a week for 3 hours per class. We do it at our office. The instructors, Susan Menhard and Jason Hartsfield. Susan has a spinal cord injury and was turned down for a job after she became disabled, a job that she knew how to do. And Jason is legally blind. They teach candidates to be highly successful job seekers. They learn to network. They learn to do cover letters, resumes. Corporations come into the classroom and teach them that and teach them to role play behavioral interview formats, interviews. So they are competitive job seekers. And then we have our Dream Big program, which connects youth with disabilities who are college, trade, or tech school bound to meet with corporations and learn what the corporations do. And the corporations reach out to them and say, come back to us, work for us. And the students really learn to dream big about what their futures are. It's very exciting.
Dreaming big. It's exciting not only for the employer, but the potential employee. Colleen Starkloff has been my guest. This month is National Disability Employment Awareness Month. We've been talking about this huge issue. Do you know that 79% of persons with disabilities between the age of 18 and 64 are not employed? Could be. Would you like to learn more? How can they get in touch with you, Colleen, at the Starkloff Institute?
People can call us at 314-588-7090.
The Starkloff Disability Institute. Colleen Starkloff has been my guest. Thanks again for joining me, Colleen.
Thank you for inviting me. It's been a pleasure.
And thank you all for listening. I'm Judy Redlich, and this is Encounter.
Encounter is you and the issues, where the facts and opinions make you an informed citizen of St. Louis. Thank you for your participation. Let a friend know about this talk and issues feature of Bot Radio Network and KSIV. Then join us next time for Encounter.